One Man's Family, brought to you by Fleischmann's Yeast. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 8, Book 47, entitled Claudia Says Goodbye to Her Family. Have you heard the important new title Uncle Sam has given to American women? Generals in Aprons. And believe me, that's one title that really fits. Because it's up to you women to win the fight on the home front by planning and serving proper meals. But as in any battle, it takes the right tactics to win. And here are a few that Uncle Sam suggests to help you. One,
plan meals for a week with alternate choices to use food available.
Two,
try new foods when usual foods are scarce.
Three,
buy fresh fruits and vegetables to save ration points. Serve some raw. When cooking vegetables, cover and use little water. Cook only till tender.
Of course, that last is to help preserve the precious vitamins our bodies need for vigor and vitality. And here's another simple tactic that you can use to add vitamins to your family's diet. Insist on Fleischmann's yeast with a yellow label for all your baking. It's not only a fast-acting yeast that gives wonderfully delicious baking results, it's the only fresh yeast on the market with both vitamin B complex and added amounts of vitamins A and D. And all of these important vitamins go right into whatever you bake with no great loss in the oven. So, generals in aprons, adopt these wise tactics for feeding your family and help keep them strong and fit for the busy days ahead. Claudia has put her house in order. Everything she's not taking with her for herself and for her two younger children, Penelope and young Nick, she's put in moth crystals and tucked away in cedar closets. The furniture is all covered with dust cloths and the drapes pulled and the refrigerator disconnected and the pilot lights on the kitchen range and the automatic hot water heater put out. Steamer trunks have been shipped on ahead by train and all the hand luggage has been brought over to the family home and piled in Paul's car to be taken to the airfield in a little while. Joan has been packed bag and baggage over to her grandmother's. In fact, has been installed in a room which was her mother's for so many years. The room in which Claudia grew from a little girl into womanhood. All this because Nicky is in Washington and Claudia is going to be with him for 6 weeks or 2 months or however long Nicky is to remain in the United States. It's only about a half an hour until the start for the airport and just at the moment, Claudia is down in the garden talking to Father Barber. It's warm, and he's in his shirt sleeves, and he's relaxed on the garden bench beside her for a moment.
Yes. Hot.
But a lovely day, as all days are in San Francisco, whether hot or cold, windy or foggy.
Yes. So you're going to leave us again, Claudia.
But only for a little, Dad. 6 weeks, 2 months. Is there anything so devastating in that?
I suppose not.
Goodness, from the long face you're pulling and the lugubrious tone of your voice, one would think you were saying a last farewell.
Don't say that.
Dad, what's the matter with you anyway?
I just don't like to hear mention of last farewells.
But naturally, I was only kidding.
Kidding or serious, let it be.
Yes, of course.
When is Paul driving you to the airport?
In about half an hour. You want to come along?
No.
Mm-hmm. I'm just as glad to have my goodbye said here at home.
Yeah.
I've got to go in a few minutes and get Penny and young Nick up and dressed.
Your mother will help you, I expect.
Mm-hmm. I wanted them to get as much sleep as possible before we start. Once they're on the way, the facilities for small children are practically nil.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of help from the stewardess, no doubt.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Remember me well to Nicholas.
Oh, yes, I will, Dad.
Yeah, a good boy. One of the best. I miss him.
Oh, he'll be so eager to hear all about the family. Especially you, Dad. You always tickle his English sense of humor and his common sense view of things. You know, he once said he married me so that he had a reason for being around you.
Oh, he did, eh?
Mm-hmm, he really did.
He made you a good husband.
kind of husband I needed right from the beginning.
Yes. My dear.
Yes?
My dear, don't stay away too long from us.
But you know my plans, Dad.
Yes, I know your plans. But I also know the terrible amount of uncertainty in the world today. What we haven't even thought of today may easily become a fact tomorrow.
Honestly, I don't know what's got into you people. You scare me a little. You sound like prophets of doom.
Your mother and I aren't as young as we once were, Claudia.
Oh, you and Mom are good for another half century.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
Of course you are.
Nevertheless, at our age, we fear separations. We don't like them. We cling to familiar things. We want to see and feel and hear the familiar rhythm of existence. It gives us our sense of security. It gives us our continuity of life. We need the world that we understand.
But that's true of all of us.
But youth is a fluid state. It can pour itself into new molds with no great effort. That's the thing which is bothering people of your mother's and my age. Civilization is creating new molds and pouring the youth of the world into them. We don't fit into these new molds, your mother and I.
I know. It's the war.
It's more than the war. It's the way of the world, the ebb and flow of change. At high tide, we get a little while when we think we have stability, and again at low tide, there is a time of arrested motion. That all the rest of life is given over to ebb and flow, change, movement, restlessness. The east of life working.
You don't think things will ever again be like they were? Like we remember them?
Never. And only fools believe it. And maybe it's for the good of mankind, for all I know, but it's because we older people who see all the world as we knew it slipping away from us that we cling so tenaciously, so blindly to the few familiar threads we still hold in our fingers.
I know.
And your leaving us is just another familiar thread slipping from us. Well, we may get it back. You may return, but that doesn't keep us from feeling a small tightening about the heart that you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother isn't going to the airport either, is she?
No.
I see her sitting up in the window of a sewing room. Maybe you ought to go up to her if you're leaving so soon.
Yes. I wanted to come down and say goodbye to you first.
Yes.
Don't come up to see me drive away. Stay down here in your garden, Dad. Goodbye. Goodbye, darling.
Yes, indeed.
What's the matter, Grandma?
Oh, Margaret, where did you come from?
Downstairs. Were you talking to yourself?
I don't know, was I?
Well, that's what it sounded like.
Well, grandmas do that sometimes. Did your mother come over with you?
Yes, she's downstairs in the library talking to Uncle Pa.
I see.
Well, I guess you don't know where Grandpa is, do you?
I should imagine he's down in the garden.
Oh, then I'd better go down in the garden, I guess.
Yes, he'll be glad to see you.
Well, I'll be glad to see him, too. I haven't seen him since yesterday.
Goodness, it's long separation.
Well, goodbye. Oh, hello, Aunt Claudia.
Well, hello, Margaret.
Hello, Mom.
It must be almost time, isn't it?
20 minutes, a half hour.
You're going away in an airplane, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta go down and see Grandpa. Bye.
Funny baby.
Yeah, she came in and called me talking to myself, and she spoke to me about it.
She would. Oh, Mom, it's really wonderful to be all packed and have all the loose ends tucked in and be able to sit down and draw a long breath before going to catch the plane.
All you have to do is dress the children.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to you.
I've been sitting up here thinking, Claudia. Give Nicky my love.
Of course.
I was sitting here thinking about the first conversation Nicholas and I ever had together. It was about you, of course.
Was it?
About you and about us.
The Barbers?
Yes. When he had you isolated from the family over in England, when he first fell in love with you, he felt quite sure of himself and you.
On his own home ground, huh?
Yes. And then when he came over here to marry you, saw you in the bosom of a family, he was alarmed.
Yes, I know. I remember him saying to me, how can a mere husband compete with a family as closely knit as the Barbers?
I think I told him how.
Well, you certainly told him something which made him your willing slave.
Well, all I did was show him how family unity was simply built on personal loyalty and integrity. I told him how we were closely knit for two reasons. Because we like each other and because we could trust each other.
Yes, I remember him coming out into the garden to me after he finished talking to you, Mom. It was about 9 or 10. The sky was full of stars and a cool breeze was sweeping in off the ocean. He lifted up his head and took a deep breath and exhaled and said, "She's wonderful, Claudia. She's precious beyond words."
Well, did he now?
Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of Nicky's part in the family.
Yes, right from the beginning he made us like him. And in all the time I've known him, I've never known him to once avoid an obligation or abuse our trust in him. If more people understood how simple happy family relations are. Families don't become complex when the members abuse privilege or impose upon each other. Now, how did we get into this sort of talk anyway?
Nicky will delight in all this.
Will he?
Oh, yes, Mom. When the excitement of being together again recedes into normal living, I'll lie beside him at night in the dark and tell him all these things. What Mom said about family unity. What Dad said about this changing world. About Teddy becoming a student nurse. And how Cliff and Irene are doing on the dairy ranch. And how soon everyone thinks Hazel's going to marry Daniel Murray. And about Paul being put back on the inactive list because of those last injuries. Oh, everything. And he'll lie there and absorb it all and say just the right things and laugh with me and be so sympathetic and... Oh, Mom, I'm just beginning to realize how much I've missed him.
Yes, child.
There's so much to say to him. So much.
My dear, I'm so happy for you that it's all come about this way.
Thank you.
I think I'll say my goodbye to you up here. I'll even go down and see the car leave. I'd be bound to cry.
Oh, I don't want you to.
I know, but I would. So when you're ready to come, you come up here and kiss me, and that'll be all.
Yes, I will.
Claudia.
Oh, Hazel.
I was wondering if you weren't coming up.
I was talking to Paul, Mother. Claudia, Joan just came in.
What?
But I've already said goodbye to her, and she was going to stay with Hank and Pinky at your place until I was gone.
Yes, that was the idea, but apparently she sneaked away and came here.
Was anything wrong?
Well, now that the time's come, I expect she's finding the parting a little more painful than she'd anticipated.
But where is she?
She came upstairs and went down the hall to her room. And didn't stop by the sewing room to see me.
Oh, I think she feels deserted at the moment. Just wants to crawl into her hole and hide.
Oh, but I can't let her do that.
Well, of course not.
Oh, excuse me, please.
Shall I come?
No, please. Oh, poor baby. Joan. Joan, darling, are you in here? Oh, darling, what is it?
Nothing.
This makes me feel terrible. To come in here and find you lying face down in your bed all by yourself like this.
I was just resting.
Could I sit down beside you for a minute?
You'll miss your plane.
Oh, not if I'm not too long. Darling, is it because I'm going away for a little?
No.
But you sound so desperately unhappy.
No, I'm not.
Then what is it?
It's just I've got kind of a stomach ache and I want to lie down and rest. Oh,
darling, you're missing me already, aren't you?
No.
Well, you mustn't. Really, you mustn't. It'll only be for such a short time and there'll be so many things to do with school starting and all the new clothes to wear and...
Claudia.
Yes, darling?
Do you really care about me?
Why, darling.
No, I mean really and truly.
Of course I do.
I'm really not part of your family anymore, am I?
Joan, what are you saying?
I've thought about it quite a lot.
But that's not true.
Penny and baby Nicky are the ones who really and truly belong to you and Nicky.
No, all of us.
Then why don't I go on a plane with you?
But we explained all that, Joan. We've been over it and it seemed best that it wasn't
really explained, was it?
Why, darling, this isn't true at all. It isn't. Well, only last week my heart went back on me at the thought of leaving you behind, and I even went so far as to try to get another reservation so I could take you.
You don't have to tell me that.
But it's true, darling. It's true. You've got to believe me, Joan.
Okay.
This is terrible. All this right at the last minute.
Everything's okay. Really, it is.
But you still think I'm deserting you. Darling, it isn't true.
Claudia?
Yes?
Paul says we'll leave in 10 minutes. It'll take that long to get Penny and little Dinky.
I'll be right out. Joan, I've got to go now. You're making me very unhappy. You don't want to even say goodbye to me?
Bye. John, you must.
Claudia, you must hurry.
Yes, Mom. Goodbye, darling. Be a good girl. I'll be back. Kiss me. Oh, that wasn't a kiss at all.
Claudia.
Yes, Paul, I'm coming. I've got to go now, darling. Goodbye. I'll bring you something. Bye.
Well, Margaret, where did you come from?
In the house. My mommy's here, too.
Huh?
Not out here, in the house.
Oh.
She's going to the airport, but I'm not.
Yeah, neither am I.
Why are you just sitting here?
Huh?
Why are you just sitting here?
I feel like sitting down.
But you're all by yourself.
Not since you arrived.
But you were. Are you mad at anybody?
Yeah. Only dogs go mad.
Well, that isn't what you usually say.
Hmm?
You usually say only insane people are mad.
Yeah, I know what I say.
Have you got a stomachache?
I haven't had a stomachache for 50 years.
I have.
No doubt.
What?
I say no doubt.
What
gave it to you?
Hmm?
The stomachache. What gave it to you?
I don't know.
Something you ate, of course.
Oh, ice cream?
I wouldn't think so.
Peanuts?
I never heard of it.
Raw carrots?
They feed carrots to babies.
Well, then I don't know, except I swallowed a penny once.
Huh?
Uh-huh, a penny.
Does your mother know that?
Sure, it was her penny.
Huh. What were you trying to do? Copper plate your insides?
I guess so. Why, well, say Aunt Claudia.
Yeah.
My mommy's going to the airport with her, but I'm not.
I'm not either.
Well, don't you like airplanes?
Not when they're carrying away my dear ones.
Oh, that Claudia, dear one?
Certainly.
And Penny and Baby Mickey?
Yes.
Am I a dear one, too?
Do you want to be?
Yes.
Then you are.
Okay. That's Uncle Jack and Aunt Betty's house over there, isn't it?
That's a silly question.
Why?
Because you know very well it's their house.
Aunt Betty's going to the airport, too.
Is she indeed?
Mommy and Aunt Betty and Uncle Paul and Teddy.
Your grandmother and I are saying our goodbyes here.
Huh? Well, I guess they're going. Shall we go up?
Well, I've already said my say.
Oh.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Dad.
Yes. Nicholas, Jack, Claudia, Penny, young Nick. Lost to us by circumstances beyond our control. Gone.
Oh, look at that plane shoot across the sky.
That's a Mustang. That can just about outrun anything in the sky.
Porter's taking care of the luggage. Come along with me, Claude, and we'll see about your ticket.
You think it's all right leaving the children with the stewardess, Paul?
She's a registered nurse, of course. That's what she's for. Come on, we'll go in and get your ticket fixed up and your luggage weighed in, and all the fuss will be over.
Cliff was coming up from the dairy ranch.
Well, we'll keep an eye open for him.
Where's Betty?
She had that fit in the car. She suddenly wasn't feeling too good.
Oh, goodness. You don't suppose the baby's coming in by airmail, do you?
Well, Teddy and I'll go out to the car, and you folks will join us out there when you're through inside.
All right. Come on, Claudia.
Oh, we'll just be a few minutes.
Come on, Teddy.
You think Betty should be got back to town?
The doctor warned her it might be any time.
Well, we'll just see how she seems.
She was feeling so good when we started out.
Well, it might be just the excitement of Claudia's leaving.
Ooh, here comes that little hornet plane again.
They use this field quite a lot for training and testing certain types of planes.
I see. Well, Betty seems to be all right now. Just sitting there watching the activity on the field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Clifford. Cliff! This way, Cliff!
He sees us. Yes, let's wait for him. There's some plane ready to go out. It's supposed to take off in 10 minutes.
Hi, where's Claude? Has your plane gone?
No, she's inside with Paul.
Oh, boy, I thought I wasn't going to make it.
Anything the matter? Yes, where's Irene?
Oh, is anything the matter? Everything's the matter. The skipper's down with measles.
What? Hey, when did that happen?
I was feeling bad last night, but we didn't spot the trouble till this morning.
Well, I got my 3 out of there just in time.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm supposed to be under quarantine or not. I just had to say so long to Claude.
Well, say goodbye to Claudia, but don't expose Penelope or baby Nick.
Oh, yes, that would be something. If Claude had two children down with measles all the time she was gone.
Okay.
I better not say anything to her about it so she won't worry.
Yeah. Hey, what's the matter with Betty?
She wasn't feeling so good. She wanted to sit in the car. Let's go over.
Huh? Yeah, okay, come on.
Goodness, are things piling up. Claude leaving, Betty having a baby, and now Skippy down with measles.
Have you had a doctor, Claire?
Yeah, that's what made me so late. I had to go get him and then take him back after the examination.
Is Skip very sick?
Well, he's not happy. Little fever, but not much. Makes him fretful, hard to get along with. Hi, Betty.
Hello there, Cliff. You almost didn't get here.
Oh, you don't know how true that is.
Well, how are you feeling now, Betty?
Okay. All that feeling's gone away.
Well, that's a relief.
Did I scare you folks?
Well, you had us wondering if we were going to have to get a police escort and drive like we were sent for.
I don't think so. But I'm just going to sit quietly here in the car.
Well, I guess that wasn't Claudia's plane after all.
Where?
Those motors we heard warming up. We thought that might have been her plane.
Well, here come Claude and Paul.
Oh, well, where are the children?
Well, the stewardess took them over until plane time.
Ooh, some service. Hey, I knew I missed somebody. Where's Joan?
Well, complications have arisen there.
What does that mean?
Well, everything was beautifully arranged. Claudia said goodbye to her early, and Hank and Pinky took her to play with them until Claudia should have gone.
Mm, no sad farewells, huh?
No. And all of a sudden, Joan sneaked away and hid up in her room at her grandmother's.
Her room?
Yes. Mother's given her Claudia's old room while she's staying there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Well, Claudia went in to see her, and it seems she suddenly decided that Claudia's abandoning her. And nothing she could do would persuade Joan differently.
Doggone. Isn't that still the way it is?
Yes. Claudia finally had to leave her, Miss her plane. Oh, she was terribly upset, Cliff, and cried about it. But well, I think we've persuaded her that it's just a phase with Joan.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, Cliff, I was afraid you weren't going to get here.
Hey, hi, traveler. Of course I got here.
Oh, I'm so glad. Where's Irene?
Oh, Skippy's sick. She couldn't come.
Oh, anything serious?
No, just little boy ailments. He has to be kept in bed. Everything under control, Paul?
Yeah. Well, you look all right, Betty.
Oh, sure. I'm fine now.
You excited, Claude?
Of course I am. How could I help it? Oh, would you excuse us if I went for a little walk with Cliff?
Well, of course.
After all, you are twins. You want to, Cliff?
I was wondering if I wasn't going to get a minute alone with you.
Okay, come on.
Not too far. They'll be calling you in 4 or 5 minutes.
We'll be watching.
Well, fella, tomorrow morning you're going to be in Washington, D.C. And will that be something?
Oh, yes.
Give Nick a big hug for me and tell the old boy we still love him.
I will. He'll love it. But Cliff...
Hmm? Oh, is there something the matter?
Oh, something's very much the matter. Will you promise me something?
Oh, sure. What?
Will you kind of keep an eye on Joan while I'm gone?
Well, but if she's up in town...
Oh, I know that, but you'll be in town every week or so. You'll be able to tell how she's getting along.
Well, yeah, I guess so, but why me? I mean, all the rest of the family's right there. And...
All the rest of the family won't tell me the truth. They'll cover up so I won't worry while I'm away. But I will worry if I don't know the truth.
Hey, you're just upset now because of Joan. By the time you come back, she'll have forgot all about it.
Well, just the same, I want you to write me about her. Will you?
Why, sure.
Claudia!
Uh-oh.
Come on, they announced your plane.
Okay.
Well, I guess this is it.
I guess it is. Paul, is the stewardess taking the children on the plane?
She said she'd meet you inside the gate where they check in the passengers.
If we go around this way, it'll be shorter than through the lobby.
That's right. You do know this airport, don't you?
Any of the plane. I've taken off the runway out there. Here we are.
Well, that's your plane that's been warming up, Claudia.
Oh, yes. There's the stewardess with the children.
Betty, do you think you should have gotten out of the car and walked around here?
Oh, yes, I wanted to.
Oh, why, sure. The stork isn't even in sight yet, is it, Betty?
Well, I wouldn't say exactly that.
Well, here's where we say goodbye.
Betty.
Oh, yes. Have a wonderful trip and give my love to Nicky.
Yes. And you have a nice time in the hospital.
Okay.
Goodbye, Betty.
Yeah. Give Nicky my love.
Hazel, darling.
Hey, Claudia, take care of yourself.
Oh, yes. And you... Goodbye, Cliff. I've already said goodbye to you, Cliff.
It isn't goodbye until I've had a kiss.
Well, okay.
And a hug. Oh, what I did to your lipstick.
What I did to your face. And, Paul, thanks for everything.
Yes. Now that you're on your way, you forget everything and concentrate on having a good time. Huh?
Yes, I will.
Claudia, they're waiting for you.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to get left behind. Oh, do I give my name here? Claudia Barbara Lacey. I'm going to Washington, D.C. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye,
Claudia.
And there she goes inside with the children.
I always get a funny feeling when they close the plane door. The way it slams shut and locks. Something so final about it.
There they go.
they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Gone.
Beautiful ship in the air.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh,
Betty, what is it?
I'm afraid you better get me to a hospital.
Hey.
Take her other arm, Cliff.
Betty, run inside and phone Dr. Thompson to meet us there.
Yes, okay.
Don't worry, Betty. We'll get you there.
Well, I think you'd better hurry.
Find Clifford and Hazel and Teddy and Paul drifting from subject to subject.
Well, I don't really think that I'm shy or bashful, and I like people, but I just don't mix very well.
That's an interesting subject, Teddy. Who do you think is the best mix in the family?
I'd say you are, Paul.
Well, I'd say you and Claude are good mixers, too, Hazel.
Oh, I don't think Hazel's as good a mixer as Claudia. Hazel kind of lives inside herself more. I think you and Claude are our best mixers, Paul.
Hey. Hey, what about me?
You.
What? You're doggone right. I'm the best mixer in the Barber family. Bring me a dried glass and a fork and a few other ingredients and I'll prove it.
Why, you need all that stuff to prove you're a good mixer.
You can't mix without the stuff to mix with.
Oh.
Okay, go on and laugh. But I tell you, I can mix the best vitamin cocktail you ever tossed down a parched and thirsty throat.
Oh, pooh, anybody can mix a vitamin cocktail.
Oh, yeah, there's a trick to it.
Well, certainly. Just be sure you've got a dry glass, a fork, and a cake of Fleischmann's yeast.
Okay, Miss Smarty, what else?
Well, just break up the yeast in the dry glass with the fork, add a little tomato juice, stir till it's smoothly blended, then fill a glass with tomato juice and give it another stir. Why, a two-year-old child can mix a vitamin cocktail.
Okay, but show me a two-year-old that enjoys drinking a vitamin cocktail as much as I do.
Well, no wonder, Clifford. A vitamin cocktail mixed the way Teddy described is a delicious drink indeed. Not only that, friends, but if you need extra vitamins in your diet, the vitamin cocktail, Fleischmann's yeast, and tomato juice should be a real benefit. It contains every vitamin known to be needed in human nutrition. And only two vitamin cocktails supply the full daily minimum requirements of vitamins A, B1, C, and D, and a supply of all the vitamins in the B-complex group. So if you lack vim and vitality because you need more vitamins in your diet, make it a point to drink a delicious vitamin cocktail, Fleischmann's fresh yeast and tomato juice, twice every day. Yes, drink it, America. To your health. You have just heard Chapter 8, Book 47 of One Man's Family, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse for the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. Chapter 9, entitled The Stork is a Dirty Dog, will come to you next week at this same hour.
Friends, listen. Now a big 18-ounce can of V8 vegetable juices takes only 2 ration points. So tomorrow, try your vitamin cocktail made with Fleischmann's fresh yeast and delicious V8 vegetable juices. It contains every vitamin known to be needed in human nutrition. Remember, that's Fleischmann's fresh yeast in cool, bracing V8. You'll like it. One Man's Family comes to you from California. This is the National Broadcasting Company.